So today, even though the atheist and the evolutionist claim they know more than ever before, they know less and can't really explain why they believe what they believe. Now, especially, let's come back here to Isaiah, the 40th chapter. Now, this is a great, great chapter back here. And when you tie in together everything that we can do, going down to the minuscule, going down and electronically examining cells, atoms, protons, electrons, and stop and think of this for a minute. Just for a minute. In Europe, they have this great, huge, $20 billion cyclotron. And they have some of the biggest magnets on Earth and some of the biggest generators to generate the power so they can shoot down through this cyclotron the smallest particles they're able to do to see if they can get two of them to collide to find out how fusion comes about. And luckily, if they can figure that out, then they can capture fusion like a little sun like this and hold it together with the magnetic power and then have that little small bundle of sun generate mammoth power. Okay? They haven't been able to do it yet. The best scientists, the best engineers, proclaiming themselves to be the wise ones, okay? They still haven't made it go bang in their little cyclotron. Their huge cyclotron, if we could put it this way. All right. Now, that little blip of fusion that they're striving so hard to find is like a single cell from the sun. And how many galaxies and suns are there in the universe now? See? So, when we read this in Isaiah 20, I want you to think about all of the things we have to really examine the heavens. And, of course, we're still missing almost all of it. I want you to think what a witness that is to all the atheists and evolutionists. Okay. So now as we come to Isaiah, the 40th chapter, let's think about all of these important people, intelligent men, having so much available to them to really prove about the true God, his existence and his creation. Now God here is mocking them, saying, all right, if you're so intelligent, come on. Let's have you reason a little bit. Verse 12. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hands? In other words, can you really understand the truth about all the oceans and all the water in the earth? And that's only part of the water because there's a lot of water out in the universe. Okay? And meted out the heavens with a span. So here they are arguing, well, you know, no, we can't admit that nothing made everything because nothing would be something. Well, if nothing is nothing, how can nothing be something? So God says, okay, here's what I did with the span. Wave your arm and see what you can do. Okay? Who has comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure? God knows everything about every speck of dust and dirt and rock and everything in the earth, right down through to the core of the earth, and weighed the mountains in the scales and the hills in balance, in a balance. Now, if you're so smart and you know everything, God says, who's directed the Spirit of the Lord? Where were you when I was making these things? Were you talking over my shoulder and say, oh, no, Lord, do it this way? See, who did he take counsel with? Okay, who is his counselor? That he might instruct him. With whom did he take counsel? And who instructed him? Did you? And taught him the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and made known the way of understanding to him? Now, for all you politicians striving, fighting, all of this, over power, who's going to be in charge? What you need to do is every one of you repent and get on your knees before your maker. You know, you better do like King Nebuchadnezzar. You better read Nebuchadnezzar's epistle to every leader in the world, where he learned that the Most High rules in the kingdoms of men. Because here's how God views all of your power, all of your pomp, all of your arrogance. Behold, the nations are like a drop in a bucket and are counted as a small dust in a balance. Like you blow a little dust off your hand. Behold, he takes up the isles as a very little thing. And Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beast of it sufficient for a burnt offering. Now you want a world government? You want control over all nations? Here's how God looks at them. All nations are before him as nothing, and they are counted by him as less than nothing and vanity. Now think of that. If man at his very best is vanity, then all nations of the world are vanity. Is that not correct? Combination of all human beings together? Yes, indeed. All right, now get on your real good suspenders so you can put your thumb right under your suspenders and tell us how good you are. Verse 18, to whom then will you compare God? Or to what likeness will you compare to him? Now, everybody has their idols. Some make graven images, but all the scientists and atheists have the idols of their own mind. They worship their own minds, and they worship their own thoughts. Now, hold your place here and come to Ezekiel 14. Because here's an important principle. Not just the idols that are made. And oh yes, I agree with all the atheists who say all of the idols that men make for religious purposes are nothing. Well, God says the minds, the brains, the cells in your head that you worship as greater than God, those are worse than the idols that men make. And God brings that out here, Ezekiel 14. And some of the elders of Israel came to me, that is Ezekiel 14 and verse 1, and sat before me. They came to the prophet of the Lord. See? Now, they wouldn't do this otherwise, but they were in captivity. And they didn't like the captivity. And they were in captivity because they rejected God. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their hearts. That's where all idolatry is. And put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their faces. Want to come to God with all their iniquity, but sit down nice and pompous, and we'll have an official council here with the prophet, and we want to know what God says. God says, should I at all be inquired by them? It's because you don't approach God without repentance. You don't come to God with your ideas. You don't come to God with your thoughts, because those are your idols. You know, read Isaiah 55, where it says, let the wicked man forsake his thoughts, and the unrighteous man his ways. So here we have the same thing. So you could liken the same thing to a great council of all of the atheists and evolutionists all getting together. Therefore, speak to them and say to them, thus says the Lord God, every man of the house of Israel who sets up idols in his heart and puts a stumbling block of his iniquity before his face and comes to the prophet, I, the Lord, will answer him according to the multitude of his idols, so that I may take the house of Israel in their own heart, because they have deserted me for their idols, all of them. So here's what God says. Verse 6. Therefore say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, repent and turn yourself from your idols and turn away your faces from all your abominations. For every one of the house of Israel or the stranger who lives in Israel who separates himself from me and sets up idols in his heart and puts a stumbling block of his iniquity before his face and comes to the prophet to ask of him concerning me, I, the Lord, will answer him myself. Now, you ought to read the book of Job if you want to know what it's like to have God answer you in person. Now, God is not going to do this directly in the same way, but he's going to answer you in a way that you will never forget. And Christ is storing all of this up for his return. Okay, now come back here to Isaiah 40. So let's see how God looks at the work of all of these crafted workers. Verse 19. Okay, now we could... What is the big idol of all of the quantum physicists in the world? The big cyclotron, okay? The workman melts a graven image, and the goldsmith spreads it over with gold and casts silver change. He that is who is too poor for that offering chooses a tree that will not rot. Oh, isn't that magnificent? And seeks for himself a skillful workman to prepare an image that will not totter. Ever heard of Easter Island? Well, they did that with stones. Ever heard of totem poles? Yes, indeed. So God says, compare that. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundation of the earth? It is he who sits above the circle of the earth. And its people are like grasshoppers. All right? Verse 22, Isaiah 40, like grasshoppers. So what about all these nations and people fighting over power? Now, right now as we speak, the Middle East is about ready to burst into war. All over power, and who can show who is the most powerful? Okay? So they're all striving after wind. Think of it. They sit there with their planes and their guns and their rockets and their bombs and their whatever other weapons that they have. You know, and think of this. All the wars that ever been fought on the face of the earth, what have they done to the earth? Virtually nothing. Virtually nothing. After a time, God overgrows it with new growth. And those things that have disappeared are buried. See? So he says, people are like grasshoppers. Now look up to the heavens, continuing verse 22 in the middle. It is he who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them out like a tent to dwell in, who brings the rulers to nothing. He makes the judges of the earth as vanity. No sooner are they planted, no sooner are they sown, no sooner do they take root in the ground, than he shall blow upon them, and they shall wither, and the whirlwind shall take them away like stubble. One little example. 63% of the United States is in a drought in various degrees of drought. And I think if we've discussed in past time, you know, think of the great plans we have. Now let's have green renewable energy. Oh, yes, let's get ethanol from corn. Won't that be wonderful? We won't have to drill and have... And just think what this is going to do. How wonderful that will be. And what did we say? What will happen if there's a drought or a plague and they won't be able to make their ethanol? And now you have how much a percentage of your gasoline depended upon that? Is it 10%? Will gasoline go up by 10% because there is no ethanol or more? Who makes the corn grow? God does. Who gave it the properties that it has? God did. So you want to improve it by genetic splicing. And God will let you be successful for a while. And so what do we have this year? It's like it says here. God blows on it, poof, there's a drought and wipes out the crop. Now, what are you going to do? You still believe in your atheism? You still believe that everything came from nothing? Huh? Really? Why can't you stop that? If you're so almighty and powerful, why can't you stop the drought? That's what God says. Verse 25. To whom then will you compare me, or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Now here's what every atheist needs to do. Lift up your eyes on high and behold who created these things. Hey, that's a demonstration of God, that he's creator. And if you're not willing to do that, then take anything that you own in the way of a material object. How about your car? Is that complex? How does that compare to the universe? Well, it's nothing. Did your car evolve? Did you go down to the dealer of evolution and say, whoop, whoop, press this button and out comes your evolved car? No, you have to admit someone made it. Someone had to draw the plans to create it, correct? Yet you look at the earth and you look at the heavens and you say it came from nothing. See? And then you teach all the young people growing up that all they need in their lives is, you don't need God, but the most important thing you need is fun and sex, and the government's going to take care of everything else for you. And that's what you've created. And God's judgment is coming. And you see some of these interviews on television where someone goes around and talks to the youth. They're addle-brained, emotional, and have no common sense, no understanding of anything. They've been created that way by the system that is based on evolution and atheism. So God says, lift up your eyes on high. Get an education. Behold who has created these things, who brings out their host by number. We can't even number them. They can only guess. Now they're guessing that there are 360 trillion galaxies in the heavens. And that's only a guess. But God knows every one. He calls them all by names by the greatness of his might, for he is strong in power, not one fails. So this is quite an education, isn't it? Why do you say, O Jacob, and O Israel, you speak? And this applies to anyone. My way is hidden from the Lord, and my cause is disregarded by my God. In other words, saying, I can do whatever I want. There's no God. So God answers back. Have you not known? Have you not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not grow weak nor weary, and his understanding no one can fathom? And then you criticize those creationists? Doesn't make any sense at all. Come over here, Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43. Okay? Let's pick it up here in verse 11. Isaiah 43 and verse 11. God says this to every human being. I, even I, am the Lord. And besides me, there is no Savior. And that's the one who became Jesus Christ. I have declared it and have saved. I have shown when there was no strange God among you. Therefore, you are my witnesses, says the Lord, that I am God. And that's what we are to declare. Now, here's what human beings like to do. And this is exactly what the atheist and the evolutionist do. Come to Isaiah 29. 29, verse 15. Isaiah 29 and verse 15, just a few pages back. Here's what God says. Woe to those who go deep to hide their purpose from the Lord, and their works are in the dark, and they say, who sees us and who knows us? All right, all the super elite in your secret little compartments, wherever you are, all the plans that you have for whatever you're going to do, to control the world, to change the money system, to enslave everyone in the world? God knows. Verse 16, Isaiah 29. Surely you have turned things upside down. You've got it all backwards. Shall the potter be regarded as the potter's clay? For shall the work say of him who made it, he did not make me, I just evolved. What a fortunate thing that was. And I evolved better than those slobs down there at the lower level. See? Or shall the thing formed say to him who formed it, he had no understanding. It just came from nothing. Now let's come back here to some other scriptures here, okay? Let's come back to Romans 9 and verse 20. Here we have the same thing. Here's how God views all the sayings and writings and speculations and works and equipment and everything that they have, all of their experiments, Romans the 9th chapter. And what are you going to do when you stand before God? Because it does say in the book of Romans, chapter 14, everyone's going to have to come before the judgment seat of Jesus Christ and give an account for yourself. Now, what are all these scientists going to say? You know? What excuse are you going to give? Because this is what you're doing. Okay? Let's pick it up here in verse 19. Will you then reply to me, why does he yet find fault? For who has opposed his purpose? You think anything you're going to do is going to oppose the purpose of God? Now, the purpose of God is going to come out in two ways. One, you will either repent and accept Jesus Christ, the one whom you hate, as your personal Savior and Lord and Master, and you will begin to walk in his ways, and if you're faithful to the end, you can enter into the kingdom of God and have what you desire to get with what you're trying to do now, immortality and eternal life. Or you can take the other path, number two, and you can continue in the way that you were going and reject God and adamantly refuse anything about God. And when you're resurrected for the resurrection of the wicked for the second death to be thrown into the lake of fire, you're going to be like the rich man in the parable as Lazarus and the rich man and say, ooh, what is this? And the answer is going to be given to you, it's too late. You had your opportunity. Verse 20, yes, indeed, O man, who are you to answer against God? Now, if you don't believe that, next time you're in a windstorm, and it's really a bad one, you go out and show your power and authority and stand somewhere and shake your fist at the wind and say, stop. It won't happen. Shall the thing that is formed say to the one who formed it, why did you make me this way? God has a reason and purpose for everything, see? Or doesn't the potter have authority over the clay to make from the same lump of clay one vessel unto honor and another vessel unto dishonor? Is not God going to do what he's going to do? Does he not give you choices? Yes, he does. Verse 22. Who dares to question his purpose if God, willing to show his wrath and to make known his power, choose in much long suffering to put up with the vessels of wrath which were created for destruction, in order that he might make known the riches of his glory to the vessels of mercy which he has prepared before for glory? That's what he's saying here. You better get on God's side. You better get on God's side. Okay, now let's see how God created everything, all right? Come back here to Genesis 1, and then we will see other scriptures which verify it. Genesis 1. Now God, in the first 4 days, prepared everything for life. And the only reason that everything functioned so magnificently together is because God made it that way. Verse 20, and God said, let the waters abound with swarms of living creatures. And you look at that series they did on Blue Earth. Everything about the ocean, from the smallest little thing, from the deepest part of the ocean to the greatest whales and all kinds of fish and everything in between that God made. Okay, let the waters swarm with living creatures, and let fowl fly over the earth on the face of the firmament of heaven. All right, then watch the documentaries on all the birds. Amazing. Only thing you can say. Okay. Now, the one I'm amazed at is the emperor penguin. Story of the emperor penguin, you know that? The males go on the interior of the Antarctic all winter. They eat nothing all winter. Winds get up to 200 miles an hour, and it gets down close to 100 below. And yet, they have, under the big fat pouch at the bottom of their belly, which is down close to their feet, they have one egg. And they incubate that in the most horrendous climate. And I think God has done this to prove that He can inspire that there will be life the way that He created, in spite of every circumstances on the outside. And finally, boop, when the sun comes up again in the spring. A little after that, the egg hatches. And the father still has in his stomach the first feeding for the newly hatched chick. And lo and behold, right on the minute, and of course there are thousands and thousands of males in this huge, big gathering of the emperor's penguins. And then right to the minute, here come all the females. They've been out in the ocean feeding to bring food so they can come in and take over for the fathers. So they all come in, and all the emperor penguins look alike to us. They come in and they pick out the father, the right one, and then they begin feeding the chick. And then the fathers all go out and they start feasting on what God has created for them to eat in the ocean. Question, how did that evolve? What if the fat was just not quite low enough and they couldn't incubate the egg? Think of all the things, see? Okay. Then all the birds that fly. Tremendous. You see, they fly from South America up to the northern hemisphere in millions of birds. God made them all. And God created great sea animals and every living creature that moves with which the waters swarm after their kind, and every winged fowl after its kind, and God saw that it was good. Now let's stop right here. Okay? Show me one thing that shows any evidence of evolution, or does it not reproduce after its kind? Okay? All right. Have you ever had an elephant give birth to a penguin? After their kind. That's how God made it. And because you believe in evolution, you deny the greatest creation that God has made in the physical realm, you and every other human being. Because after God blessed them, verse 22, God blessed them saying, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters of the sea, and let the fowl multiply in the earth." The evening and morning were the fifth day. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures after their kind, livestock, creeping things, beast of the earth, each after its kind, kind after kind, kind after kind." And all your evolution in the world and all of your rejection of God is not going to change it. Now, if you think it can, then please bring forth a creature that is half dog and half cat. Okay? I don't care which half is half, but see what you can do. Okay? And God made the beasts of the earth after their kind. Isn't that after their kind? How many times? After their kind, after their kind, after their kind. What do you suppose God means? The livestock after their kind, every creeping thing upon the earth after their kind, and God saw that it was good. And all of that to give to man is a gift. Think of that. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. You didn't come from monkeys. You didn't come from slime. You didn't come from apes. Though some of you act worse than them. You came because God created man and woman. And the genes that every human being, beginning with Adam and Eve, with the creation of God, you have the genes that have been passed down every generation through all the years to every one of us. Now, if you want to bring this into perspective, how much time would there be if you only counted the instant of conception? Don't count how old they live or whatever. Just from the instant that they were conceived. And you take all humanity, all conceived everywhere in the world, and you put it within the space of time that only measured their conception, how long would the history of mankind be? Probably next to nothing. Okay? So that's how great God is. And the whole purpose of man is so that God is recreating himself through man. Now that's another whole story. So we'll continue on next time with this. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.